The Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th verse, verses 24 through 39. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, against her mother-in-law. One's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to God. This morning, this beautiful day, the long-awaited summer solstice, I invite you for a very few brief minutes to allow these words of Jesus to speak anew with us in deep, sharp, but gracious power. May the words of our hearts and our minds be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. The sword is usually in this culture, in our society, identified with aggression, violence. But its long history is more complex than that. It's also identified with protection, with actual healing. When a surgeon operates on you, he or she uses a small, tiny, clean sword to make an incision to cut through to allow healing to happen. This particular sword is a Chinese sword. It's not a real weapon. It is a practice sword, so its blade can be bent and it's dull. But it comes from a Taoist Chinese tradition. Now, in that tradition, these swords are found in temples and in sanctuaries. They're mounted on the walls because the monks use them actually in forms of prayer, mindfulness practices, where the sword form is done very slowly, very intentionally, very gracefully. Obviously, Jesus is not talking about a physical sword here. He's talking about a spiritual sword. So I want to invite you to go there for a few minutes and reflect upon where you have been cut by the spiritual sword, and where you have used a spiritual sword with people around you, with people you love. So I'll begin with a couple of my own experiences. When I was 23, I returned to Marquette after having been out of the country for a couple of years with no contact with my family. My mother at that time was living on 4th Street here, very, very modest apartment. Our family never owned any property, but she was just getting by on Social Security, very small pension. She was a widow. I was in Chicago at the seminary, so I came to visit her once, and she sat me down and she said, "John, I'm not going to pay your phone bill anymore." So I could feel the sword right there. I was being literally cut off financially. And I needed to be. I was taking that for granted. I was still her son. She was paying my bills. I was 23 years old. A second memory I have of being cut by the spiritual sword was 30 years ago. I came back to Marquette, and I was involved in the mental health community, and I had a project that I felt very deeply about. I had developed some relationships with the indigenous communities here, the five reservations here in the Upper Peninsula, American Indian reservations, and I knew some of their healers, their healing traditions. So I went to a medical director here who was running the residency program for Michigan State Physicians in Training. And I said, "Listen, I have an idea. I would like to work with you and possibly develop a program where your medical students actually communicate and start to have conversations with traditional healers so you can share wisdom with each other. And you can also then deepen appreciation for the population up here in the Upper Peninsula." So the medical director, a very wise man at that point, and he was a very wise, beloved physician, said to me, "Okay, I'm going to send you down to my assistant who runs the continuing ed program for us and, you know, talk to him about it." So I took three trips to Escanaba, and I met with him and explained the project, told him that the director, you know, had blessed me, and let's make this happen. I'm ready to go. And so I made three trips, never received any letter or email or phone call from him. And I got a little frustrated, so I went back to the medical director. Office is over here on Magnet, just up the street here on Magnetic. And I said to him, "Hey, I've been in touch with your associate, your assistant, and he's not returning phone calls. You know, is there anything I can do?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Let it go. Let it go." Okay. He used the sword. I see thought at that time, and I still have the problem, as most of us do, that you have a good idea. Well, you're of course other people are going to want to do the good idea. If you have a project, of course other people want to do it. The truth of the matter is it might be the wrong time. And the capacity of the organization or the people you're dealing with, that's just not a priority. They have other priorities. So I've been cut by the sword twice, specifically, that I wanted to share with you. So now let's move to where you can apply these words of Jesus about him bringing a sword. The first is the family. There's two problems. We got some counselors here in the congregation today. There's two problems with families. We idealize them on one side, and then we're cursed by them on the other side. Both are problems. If you idealize your family, you can never find anybody to match up to father. Never anybody can match up to mother. You're always comparing people to your mother or to your father. You're not free. You're bound. You're bound. Now, it gets worse if you've lost a parent. Because then you don't have any model at all of what a parent is. So you immediately idealize that. And of course, you lay that on a partner, it's not going to work. And if you're a single child, it's the same thing. If you're raised in a family, you know, you have to fight. You have to fight against that lack of tension that you have with siblings. If you're cursed by the family, most of us know what that is like. And the great teacher for that to me has been the recovery community. They have a thing called detachment, loving detachment, especially in Al-Anon AA groups, where you don't cut yourself off necessarily from somebody you love, but you use a psychological, spiritual sword, and you say, no, I'm not going to cover for you. No, I'm not going to cover your bank account. I'm not going to clean up the mess that you've left. I love you, but I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. You're using a sword to sever, to separate. Now, here in the Christian tradition, we have some hidden teachings about this. And one of them can be found in the ritual of baptism. I am very careful to watch our pastors over the years, their decision about who holds the child during the infant baptism. Who holds the child? Is it the biological parent or is it the godparent? Well, oftentimes the natural tendency is the biological parent will hold because they're the nurturer. But, you know, this ritual has nothing to do with a parent's love for the child, actually. It has to do with God's love and a reminder to the congregation and to the parents that your child is not a piece of property that you have been given, that you can do what you want with. That your child is a son and daughter of the kingdom, and they have a destiny that you don't know. You will never know. You think you know their destiny. Only God knows the destiny. But it's not your father's destiny, your mother's destiny, your brother's destiny, your sister's. It's yours. That's what that ritual means when the child is given and baptized in the arms of a God spiritual family. So that's the family. Let's wield the sword now in another area, which is politics. The spiritual sword needs to be wielded in politics. In my first experience as a parish pastor, I came into a small congregation in Mackinac County, and I had some deep feelings. One is because I, in my own past, had worked with a lot of people from the international community, and I saw the American flag up by the altar, and I said, please, I'm going to take this. So I moved the flags out of the altar and out of the sanctuary. Well, we had a council meeting the next week. You can imagine what happened. We had veterans in our congregation. So I had my sword, you know, I had severed, right, taken the flags off. Well, they had their swords. And they came back at me. And we went back and forth. So how that turned out was we had a sword fight. And at the conclusion, the flags were put in the back of the sanctuary. That's how we solved that. But this country right now is awash with idolatry and the misuse of religious symbols. So it calls for discernment. It calls for judgment. It calls for the use of a spiritual sword. A third area is a medical, the medical world, our physical health. This is a tough one because those of us, sooner or later, when we are diagnosed, and it is coming for us, this is one of the ironies of modern medicine, isn't it? I was told this by a cardiologist. We're going to live longer with our pacemakers and all the medications we have, but we're going to suffer more. We're going to suffer more. Live longer, suffer more. That's what's coming for every one of us. And so we need a spiritual sword, a psychological spiritual sword, to cut through, to help make decisions. What you're going to find out is usually there's no consensus when you get hit with a bad diagnosis, a really severe. There's no consensus by the medical community. You have to make decisions. I can do this, I can do that, right up until the last breath. Right until the last breath. You have to use, wield a sword to cut, to divide. So yesterday morning, I was standing on the bridge of the Yellow Dog River. We had planted some trees as part of a project that Messiah has supported here. And I was with some volunteers. So I was telling her about this sermon today, kind of talking about the sword. And she said, let me tell you a story. 9 years ago, I had surgery on my leg. I had a severe injury in my leg. And I saw on the schedule, my surgery was scheduled for 5:00 the next day, at the end of the day. So the surgeon came in the morning and said, hey, he's very nice gentleman. I'm ready to go for it. Is there anything that you need from me before surgery? She said, absolutely. Make sure you eat lunch. Make sure you have protein. Please don't use rock and roll in the background in the operating room when you're working on me. Make sure that scalpel is sharp and clean and your hands are steady. That's using the spiritual sword right there on the physician, on the surgeon. So Jesus comes among us. We talk here plenty about the healing bowl, right? The anointing oil, the kindness, the compassion that marks Christian life. But Jesus also, I'm not telling you this, he's telling you this. He invites us to use a spiritual sword so that we can live good lives in a hard world, full of joy, full of hope, an abundant life. Amen. Word of the Lord.